The second reading, which will also serve as the sermon text for today, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider again those words from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll just read verse 15 at this time, which says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the word of the Lord." And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, thanks be to God. What would cause us to make such an exclamation of praise to God, thanks for his blessings? Perhaps if you've just finished cancer treatments and you've had a chance to ring that bell, an exclamation of praise to God, thanks be to God, he's seen me through this trial in my life. I could think of a time that we would say thanks be to God. Perhaps you've noticed that pattern that we've developed in worship. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word, the law which convicts us of our sin and the gospel which heals us and cures us through Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Every time we hear that word, thanks be to God, an exclamation of praise to God for communicating his grace to us. The Apostle Paul spoke about this exclamation of praise in the first letter that he wrote to Corinth 2, speaking about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and he concluded that great chapter 15, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Of all the reasons that you might use that exclamation of praise to God, thanks be to God, you probably wouldn't put on your list of reasons another Stewardship Sunday. Thanks be to God, we get to talk about money again in church. Or perhaps you wouldn't put on that list of reasons an invitation to come to a stewardship gathering to plan out your offerings for the year. Thanks be to God, we get to consider giving a bigger offering in the plate this year. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul does for us in our text for today. He speaks about the opportunity, the privilege, to participate in the gift of giving offerings, and then concludes it with this word, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's a doxology, a word of praise to God for giving us the opportunity to give. Today may God increase us, many times over, increase in us that gratitude for this opportunity of giving. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God gives us the gift of giving, and he also gives the gifts that we give. As we've had an opportunity to see, Paul, in our Bible classes these last several weeks, Paul wrote these words. He wrote these words regarding an offering, a collection, to meet the needs of a congregation in Jerusalem to support them during very difficult times. These are the concluding words of Paul's stewardship appeal from these chapters. It ends with his incredible word of praise to God. We're grateful to God. We give him thanks for this privilege of serving. Really, everything that we do in the life of a Christian is a thanksgiving to God, is a doxology, a word of praise. So especially this stewardship of our money. The motive is always, thank you, God, for saving me. So that's how Paul concludes his letter here. Thank you, God, for your gift. But the gift he's talking about here is not just the gift of saving us from our sins. He's giving thanks to God for the gift of giving, the opportunity to contribute to the needs of other believers. That, too, is a gift of God to us, a privilege, a joy of which he makes us a part. Now, that might strike you a little bit odd when leaders of St. Paul's say to you, we need to increase offerings this year in order to meet the planned expenses that we've laid out. We ought to say, thanks be to God for this incredible gift that he would use me, sinful me, to contribute to the gospel ministry. What a gift from God. Unfortunately, that's not our reaction. Instead, when leaders make an appeal for offerings in support of a ministry, our sinful nature cries out and screams. The flesh gets defensive and makes wild accusations like, all the church cares about is money. That's all they ever talk about. Or another common argument of the flesh, I'm already contributing enough. Why don't you ask those people that aren't contributing so much? Or perhaps another way the flesh cries out, more money? Don't they have enough already? Surely they must be mismanaging what we so generously give already. I could go on with excuses, with exclamations that we cry out in our sinful flesh. I could go on because I know them all too well myself. That's the way of the flesh. That would show disdain and objection to any command of God, and especially God's commands regarding the stewardship of his money. But Jesus never treated with such disdain us for the joy, the privilege, the opportunity to offer himself for us. Yeah, that's right. I said it's a joy, a privilege, the joy of becoming poor so that you could be rich. That's what the writer to the Hebrews called it when he spoke of Christ's sacrifice of himself. He says, in view of the joy set before him, that is Jesus, he endured the cross. What was the joy set before Jesus? Was it the prospect of the exaltation being raised to life and being ascended to the right hand of God after his humiliation? No, that wasn't the prospect of joy that he was looking forward to. That was already his. No, the joy set before Jesus was the opportunity to be your Savior. That was his joy, of offering himself, his own life, to help you in your greatest need. It calls to mind a well-known hymn titled, "The Glory, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us with Your Lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice." Look at the attitude, the heart of Jesus the Savior that hymn depicts so well. Jesus didn't give his life grudgingly. He was filled with joy at the privilege of dying to serve you. And of course, our need is so much more profound, infinitely greater than any financial burden that could be placed upon us. According to God's command and will, our souls need to be redeemed from damnation in hell for our sins. Even now, that sin of stinginess, that sin of greed, that sin of complaint, when invited to help the one in need, it clings to our flesh and plagues our soul. And for such sin, even now we deserve damnation in hell. But it was a joy. It was a delight for Jesus. Thanks be to God for the Heavenly Father's good will, that he would be your Savior to help you. Thanks be to God for the Savior's joy in giving his life as an offering, that he would be the precious price, the payment of sins with his blood, with his innocent, perfect life. And it was a joy for him. That, friends, that is the joy that Jesus inspires in us when God gives us the privilege, the great and profound gift to give, to offer, to share in the work of the gospel, to support fellow believers, this service to the saints. It leads us to exclaim, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And what is really neat about this gift of God is that it compounds thanksgiving to God. Just like interest in a savings account is compounding interest, you continue to grow. It's not a linear growth in interest in a bank account. It curves upward. It's exponential growth. That's the way thanksgiving to God grows too. Paul talks about that in this account, in the many ways that thanksgiving expounds when we give. Verse 12 says, "To be sure, the administration of this service is not only making up for what is lacking among the saints, but it is also overflowing in many prayers of thanksgiving to God." He says, not only are you helping other people, an expression of thanks that you have to God for his saving you, but also the thanks that you give to God and that you do in providing and helping need generously to those who are in need, that leads them to give thanks to God too. You give thanksgiving, and then they give thanksgiving to God too. Thanks is doubled. But Paul goes on in verse 13. He says, "By proving yourselves in this service, many people are glorifying God." This act on your part, what we call a good work, those are fruits of your faith. They're proving that faith exists in your heart. When you put that offering in the offering plate, that's a fruit of faith that people see. And as a result, Paul says again, many people are glorifying God because of the fruits of faith that you are displaying. Look at what God has done in the hearts of other people too. I'm not alone in my faith. I can see others who believe in God along with me. Wow, God really is good. Thanks be to God. Well, the verse goes on too, verse 13. Many people are glorifying God as they see the obedience shown in your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity shown in your sharing with them and all people. Your faith is evident because you are obeying God's command. And an obedience is a confession of the gospel. That might seem a little strange. You might think, oh yeah, obedience to God's word is a confession of the law, right? God's word here, God's direction is good and right. So as I obey it, I'm confessing my belief in the law. But Paul says, no, it's more than that. It's a confession also in the gospel, which is the very motive for your obedience to the command. Why do you do good works? Why do you obey God's law? Because you believe his gospel. Because you know that Christ has saved you from your sins. How cool is that to think that every obedience that you perform as a fruit of faith in Christ is a beautiful confession of your faith in the gospel of Christ. And so that generosity is shown in your sharing with them and all people. That generosity, again, we talked about that extensively in the Bible class. Generosity, that's really not a great translation of the Greek word there. Really, it's a word that means single-mindedness. Single-mindedness is shown in your sharing with them and all people. What is it that we're singularly focused on that motivates our offerings and our giving? It is the gospel of Christ. His grace to you in Christ, that although he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That's the gospel that motivates and drives all our actions and our activities, every obedience to God's law. And that inspires our giving. And when people see that singular focus in the gospel, which motivates all of our acts of obedience, thanksgiving to God expounds. There's one more blessing in verse 14. At the same time as they pray for you, they also express their longing for you because of the extraordinary measure of God's grace given to you. When believers help believers, they pray for each other. They long for each other. It draws that bond even closer together, where not only do we believe the same gospel, but we share each other's burdens and cares. And we have this blessed fellowship, this wonderful communion, this beautiful common bond of faith that gives us a longing and a desire for each other, to help each other, to serve each other, to pray for each other, and to join together in the work of that gospel ministry together. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, the gift He gives of giving. Well, not only does God give us the joyful gift of giving, but of contributing to the needs of others, He also gives the very gifts that we give. Paul writes at the beginning of our text, "He who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us." Where does the seed that the farmer sows into the field come from? It comes from God. Yeah, in agriculture, every farmer knows that you don't start with nothing. You have to start with something. You have to plant seed in order to eventually reap a harvest of more crops. And that's true in every business, in every economy. Every startup company has to begin with an investment, seed money, if you will, right? To generate the production, the profit of the company, you have to spend money in order to make money. What God reminds us is that He is the one who has given us the very seeds that we sow in the first place, the very money that we give, to generate the kind of growth in thanksgiving, to produce the kind of return. It comes from God. Imagine that. God invites us to give to Him only what He has already so richly poured into our laps. It's so easy for us to forget that. In fact, it's the exact same point that was made last week in the Stewardship Sunday too. David, King David, prayed, "All I have is yours." And yet it only takes us 6 days to forget that. How often don't we fret about how we're going to continue to give or increase our giving when we have all these other bills to pay and expenses, the house and the car, the groceries, the gas, the electric, the water, the sewer, the garbage, the doctor, the dentist, the cable, the internet, the phone, the credit card bills, and on and on. No way can I even think about giving more to God. And listen to us, to our complaints. We've lost sight of that principle, fundamental truth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so all of those things that I've just listed off as complaints to God about expenses that I have in my life are wonderful, bountiful blessings that He's poured into my lap. So that when He invites me in this most generous gift, to also include an offering to Him in considering my expenses that will be transferred from my account to wherever else, I realize that even the gift that I offer to Him from what is mine belongs to Him. See how generous God is with me? And He says to me with such reassuring words, "I know what you need. I know all your bills. I know all your costs. I know what you need to eat. I know what you need to wear. I know what you need for your life, every bit of it. And I'm going to meet those needs for you in what I'm going to bless you with in this life, so that we're made rich in every way. That, of course, is way too often misapplied. If you give to God, he's going to make you rich in wealth, in material wealth that will increase. For every dollar that you give, you're going to find miraculously God is going to put $10 more into your bank account. Is that what he means by saying that he'll make us rich in every way? No. We'll be rich in contentment. We'll be rich in the righteousness that he has given to us through Christ. We'll be rich in salvation, to know that the kingdom of God belongs to us. We'll be rich in good stewardship. We'll be rich in good works. This, friends, is the richness that he promises you. Growth in your faith. Rich confidence in your salvation. Wealth in your godly living. In the fruits of that faith worked out in acts of love for God and toward your neighbor. Isn't God so generous? Hasn't he made you rich beyond compare in every way? To forgive us for stingy hearts, to remove our complaints from us and fill us up with the kind of joy that Jesus himself had when he saved us. And then to invite us to take part in this wonderful work of loving God and serving our neighbor in a way that is fruitful, in a way that is useful, in a way that is thankful to God for all of his blessings to us. And to think, I don't deserve a single bit of that. And yet he gives it to me. Out of his grace, he gives me the gift of giving. And then above that, he even gives me the very gifts that I give. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.